Can we do the roll call?
Chair Downs?
Here.
Vice Chair Arriscotta?
Yep. Okay.
Regent Del Carlo?
Here.
Regent Goodman?
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 999-988-9351 and passcode 999-999. Is there any public comment here at UNLV? Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Kevin Osorio Hernandez for the record, proud president of the Nevada Student Alliance, of the Nevada State Student Alliance, and proud chair of the Nevada Student Alliance. I just wanted to quickly present a public comment on the appreciation of the work of this committee, but also that our students are observing the committee and the work that this committee is doing. Of course, we have our amazing student representatives here. You know, we have President Dawson Deal, Vice President Kevin Meyer, and our other students in the audience as well. And I think it's important, of course, that we look forward to continuing to work collaboratively and pursue up inclusivity of our system and ensuring that all means all. So I appreciate the work that this committee is doing, and we look forward to continue working with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment here in Vegas? Seeing none, SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no callers for public comment at this time.
Thank you. So agenda item two, the minutes. The committee will consider approval of the minutes from the June 6, 2024 meeting. Are there any comments about the minutes? Or is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Number three. Information items, Southern Nevada Diversity Summit. Dr. Marcela Rodriguez Campo, Director of the Office of Community Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, NSU, will report on the NSU 2024 Southern Nevada Diversity Summit.
For the record, Dr. Marcela Rodriguez Campo, pronouns she, her, ella, Director of the Office of Community Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at Nevada State University, and advisory member of the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access Council. Thank you so much for inviting me here today, Board. I'm here today to offer an update on the 2024 Southern Nevada Diversity Summit. The Southern Nevada Diversity Summit is an annual program that was created by the Nevada System of Higher Education under the leadership of former Regent Cedric Creer in 2012. This year, Nevada State University was elated to continue this legacy and tradition as we hosted the 12th record-breaking 2024 Southern Nevada Diversity Summit. The summit is a system-wide collaboration that provides annual professional development opportunities to learn about social justice, diversity, equity, and inclusion in higher education. This event is free of charge, and all faculty, staff, students, and community sponsors were invited to attend. The event was planned by a site and liaison committee made up of members from our four Southern Nevada institutions, including Nevada State, CSN, UNLV, DRI, and NSHE. In honor of the memory of and legacy of U.S. Congressman and civil rights leader John Lewis, we invited our state to have critical dialogues on the future of diversity, equity, and inclusion work in our state and nation. We invited our community to carry the torch of this work forward and ground ourselves in Lewis's words: do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble. necessary trouble. This year, we received 57 proposals, nearly three times as many proposals from previous years, and we are incredibly proud that 24% of submitted proposals were directly from students. The summit program offered three featured sessions, 20 breakout sessions, and 12 student poster presenters. And luckily, through the great generosity of our sponsor, Cox Communications, we were able to surprise our student poster presenters with 12 brand new laptops that they got to take home with them. And we also got to register 740 participants this year compared to 425 in 2023. So that's a 43% increase in registration. And we received such an overwhelming interest in this year's summit, so much so that in-person registration filled up in less than 8 hours after opening. An estimated 246 attendees participated in person, and an additional 404 participated online. And then, of course, we wanted to make sure to make special mention today that it was through the incredible support and coordination of NSHE's SCS team that we were able to offer a high-quality and accessible live stream experience for all of our attendees. And we received a cumulative 1,591 online views and engagements, which we're really proud to share with you today. I want to offer a very special thank you to NSHE's SCS team, Rick, Ben, and Claudio, for their extensive support and thoughtful planning for the summit as they supported the vision for this event. And I would also like to share with you some of the highlights of the feedback that we received from the summit from our attendees. So in-person attendees shared that the overall organization and communication of the summit was seamless and clear. Participants overwhelmingly spoke positively about the featured sessions, describing them as impactful, transformative, and important dialogues. They expressed particular appreciation for the diversity of perspectives and experiences evident throughout our program and the speaker selection for our event. And then online participants also offered positive feedback regarding the live stream quality, the production, the professionalism, and the accessibility that the SCS team was able to provide. We hope that this can be a support that is provided every year moving forward to the diversity summits for each institution that hosts. Participants also expressed feeling re-energized and inspired by the summit content and theme, specifically emphasizing the value and the impact of events like these in particular on their work and on our campus and our state. We received 114 feedback survey responses, and 90% of in-person online participants rated their experience as highly satisfactory, so we're really proud to brag about that. And I want to highlight a couple, beautiful comments that we received as well. An NSHE student who participated in the summit shared that the speakers were wonderful. They said, "I want to be like all of them when I grow up." Having further perspectives and understanding of DEI is exactly what they had been looking for, and this summit was a dream for them. We also had NSHE faculty and staff who attended the summit and were able to access professional development. They shared that they were very grateful for the hard work, dedication, persistence, and thoughtfulness that was put in to create an empowering and uplifting environment that we created for the NSHE community. They said, "Your work is a gift to our state, a gift. I have attended several of these summits, and this by far was the best. Even though I was remote, I did not feel like it took away from the experience. Congratulations, team. You did a phenomenal job." And of course, it's my obligation and duty to read those things out loud so that our volunteers, who are 40, 50 plus across our university, different universities, can also hear the wonderful feedback that we've received from our participants. And a sponsor who we're really proud to have collaborated with shared that they'd like to express their sincere gratitude for hosting such an inspiring DEI summit. "The event was truly a wonderful opportunity for professional development, and I walked away feeling both motivated and enlightened by the discussions and presentations, NSU's commitment to fostering an inclusive environment and facilitating meaningful dialogue is apparent, and it has strengthened my own enthusiasm for the work we do. I'm excited about potential opportunities for collaboration in the future and look forward to continuing to work together towards our shared goal. This was such a memorable experience." The overwhelming support and engagement that we received for this year's summit demonstrates how valued these convenings are for our state and our community. As a minority-majority system, programs and events like our diversity summits are one of the ways in which our system communicates our commitment to supporting all of our students across our state. So on behalf of Nevada State University, we want to express our immense gratitude to our partners and all of our volunteers who helped NSHE and Nevada State University make this event possible. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, MGM, for their unwavering commitment and support for our work and DEI across our state. We want to offer our thanks to the continued support of NV Energy, Cox Communications, the NAACP of Las Vegas, the City of Henderson, and Martin Harris Construction, who were all sponsors for the program. Collectively, we fundraised $82,000 in sponsorships and in-kind donations to support the summit and the work that we do. We also had the opportunity to collaborate with local organizations and businesses like the American Civil Liberties Union of Nevada, the Las Vegas Clark County Library District, and Analog Dope, who all helped us make this program possible. So thank you all for your support in helping us carry the water and continue the tradition of the Diversity Summit. We look forward to attending the 2025 Southern Nevada Diversity Summit. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee for Dr. Rodriguez-Campo? Seeing none, thank you. We'll move on to item number four. Tier 1 and Tier 2 Supplier Diversity Spending Reports. So system staff will present a report on fiscal year 2023 and 2024 Tier 1 and Tier 2 Supplier Expenditure pursuant to board policy. CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chris Vitone, System Chief Financial Officer. I'm happy to be here today to present the return of the Supplier Diversity Report for the committee. I wanted to give a little background. I'm not actually here to do the presentation. The purchasing directors from the three offices are here, and this is really their material, and I'm excited for them to be able to share it with you. But I wanted to give you a little history on the report because it is the first time in several years that you're receiving it. The last time the committee received the report was back in 2018, and as the chair mentioned, there is your board policy, Title 4, Chapter 10, has a supplier diversity reporting requirement. But the last time the report was presented, the committee gave some feedback asking for the campuses to work together to standardize the reporting format. Because in the legacy environment, this was pre-workday. Prior to the workday conversion, preparing this report was almost entirely manual. And because it was very manual and labor-intensive, the campuses went about it in the ways that they did and didn't naturally leads to the reports being in some different formats and different levels of detail. Part of the workday transition anticipated being able to standardize this type of information, and so the campuses were prepared to work on that. As you know, the workday transition had some hurdles to work through, and so getting to stabilization was a great milestone for the campuses in terms of using the new system. That kind of aligned with the start of COVID, and you might remember at the start of COVID there was quite a lot of challenges with supply chain, and this is the supply chain department trying to handle purchasing during that environment. So the concern about presenting this report was always there, and the departments always had it on their work list, and there was a lot of starts and stops in terms of getting this report back on track. And so happy to be here now to be able to present this for you. The report, they'll explain it in more detail. There's two components to the report, Tier 1 and Tier 2, and that being the difference being direct purchasing versus the pass-through purchasing, the purchasing of our contractors and their subcontractors. I'm going to stop there because I'm afraid I'm starting to cover too much of their presentation material, but just wanted to give you that background in terms of, you know, kind of what the delay was in getting the report back to you. This will be an annual report. The structure that's been put in place in the offices now is there, and both in the system and in the portion that still requires manual intervention that they'll explain. That structure's there, and the offices are working very collaboratively, as not just for this report, but collaboratively in purchasing activity on behalf of the system. So the structure is there now for this report to be easily prepared on an annual basis and presented. So you're getting the first of the new version. I'm sure they'll be excited to hear your feedback as well. And I'm going to turn it over to them and let them introduce themselves for you.
Hello. Good afternoon. Chelsea Megerson, Interim Executive Director of Purchasing and Contracts at UNLV. Awesome. First, I wanted to just start by saying this is a topic that we're very passionate about, and so we're very excited to share some of what we've been up to in this area with all of you today. Jump to the next slide here. Before we dive in, I want to quickly overview all that we'll cover today. We'll start with some quick introductions, an overview of the requirements and definitions, cover some ENCHI summary data of Tier 1 and Tier 2, talk about our outreach initiatives that all of us are partaking in together, the final Tier 1 and Tier 2 report that was provided to you, and then talk about some future legislation and reporting, and then some time for a summary and feedback. Introductions. As I said, I'm Chelsea Megerson, Interim Executive Director of Purchasing and Contracts for UNLV, and I'm presenting in partnership today with Melanie Lever, the Director of Purchasing for Business Center North, and Paula Gonzalez, the Director of Purchasing for College of Southern Nevada. The next few slides are primarily just for reference. They're all directly from the ENCHI handbook, and this is what allows us to know what we're to report on, which establishes the Tier 1 and Tier 2 requirements. And also some definitions. We'll talk a lot about all of these terms today, so I wanted to set the stage there. A Tier 1 supplier, a prime contractor, or a direct supplier. A Tier 2 supplier, which is a supplier contracted for goods and services indirectly supporting the prime contractor. We commonly refer to them as subcontractors, but often are called indirect suppliers as well. A local supplier or subcontractor, and then the classifications themselves. So we have disadvantaged business enterprise, minority business enterprise, and women-owned business enterprise. I wanted to add a little context to the disadvantaged business enterprise, which is a classification reserved primarily for government contracting, whereas the others are more commonplace in both the private and public sectors. A disclaimer here on ENCHI record of supplier diversity classifications. All of our offices utilize the supplier registration system, which allows suppliers to self-register and self-certify their diversity classifications and status. Suppliers then have the opportunity to select or deselect those at any time. Some ENCHI summary data here, talking specifically about Tier 1 suppliers. We have both of the reports completed for fiscal year 23 and 24, so we provided some comparable data for your review. Looking at fiscal year 23, we've had $20.6 million in diversity spend and a slight increase in fiscal year 24, which was $21.2 million. In the two very small grids there on the side, you can see the breakdown of how that is represented in the whole, breaking out by the classification specifically. So women-owned and minority-owned, and then that DBE, you can see, is a little smaller on both, so the disadvantaged business enterprise, which is what we would come to expect given that that classification is typically only reserved for government contracting. It's not as popular. Again, same representation in the grid there on the right-hand side of the screen for fiscal year 24, a slight increase year over year. Shifting into ENCHI Tier 2 expenditures, these are those that we report on with prime suppliers or our prime contractors with contract value over $1 million. So that first column there represents over $156 million spent with our prime suppliers. And our Tier 2 suppliers are those that we go out and survey with. So we send a survey to them and ask them to provide reports on their subcontractors that were broken out in those categories. And so of those that were surveyed, we had over $2.8 million reported to be spent with our diversity spend. And then we had just over $2 million reported for local. I do want to add that it's not an either or, so sometimes there is a crossover there because they can be both diverse and local. In the grid on the right-hand side of the screen, that is the total number of suppliers that were surveyed. And so we add this for context. It was 65 total suppliers system-wide that fell into this category with contracts over $1 million. And of that total, 8 responded with information on their diversity spend. So 8 suppliers accounted for the $2.8 million of diversity spend and local. 20 responded that they did not have contractors that fell into these categories. They either didn't use subcontractors or they don't have diverse subcontractors. And the remaining were those that did not respond to the survey. We'll talk more about that challenge here in a little bit. NRS and Board of Regents policy require that we award to the lowest responsive and responsible bidder. There is no preference or set aside allocated to spend specifically with small, local, and diverse suppliers. And so with that in mind, our primary goals are to remove obstacles for our small, local, and diverse suppliers, providing opportunities, outreach, resources, and training for how to do business with NSHE, while also being stewards of public funds, procuring goods and services at the lowest costs consistent with quality and service, and including small, local, and diverse suppliers to every degree possible. As Chris had mentioned earlier, we have been collaborating on the Tier 1 and Tier 2 reporting initiative. So in early 2023, all institutions created a focus group made up primarily us to standardize and streamline Tier 1 and Tier 2 reporting. The group primarily focused on how can we leverage Workday to standardize. The whole focus was for standardization. So we leveraged Workday reporting, making sure we were all using the same data sources and the same output of reports in Workday. And then using those reports to make sure that we were all using the same template. Regent Del Carlo, you may have remembered the report in fiscal year 17, where they were very different, even as Chris had mentioned. And so we standardize that so every report, regardless of the reporting institution, looks the same. And then survey standardization. That was meant to automate and optimize our surveying tool by sending electronic surveys, allowing us to get the responses back all in one format as well. Switching gears to talk about some of our outreach initiatives. Each of these are events that we attend annually. The first is our Committed to Our Business Community event, typically referred to as CTalk, and that's hosted by the Regional Business Development Advisory Council. Hosted every fall, it's designed to bring small and local businesses together, and just in fiscal year 23, we had over 200 small businesses attend. The next is our Supplier Opportunity Fair, hosted by the Nevada Association of Purchasing Professionals, hosted every spring. Similar mission. Both of these events, all entities and institutions have booths, and all of our local suppliers come and gather information on how to do business with us. The next event is a little different. It's the Nevada Small Business Development Workshops. These are hosted quarterly and are primarily geared for the planning and construction vertical, where subcontractors are able to connect with prime contractors and purchasing offices are able to present on current opportunities. And of course, we always offer institution and supplier one-on-ones where suppliers can meet with us and get support, whether on existing opportunities, updates on policy and procedure, or even just how to register in our registration systems. New to our calendars in fiscal year 25 is the National Association of State Procurement Officials Exchange, hosted here in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace. And this one's a little bit different, where the requirement is to have one-on-ones with suppliers for 15 minutes. So it's like speed dating for suppliers, I think. But we're happy and all excited to extend that this year. Another effort is that we've all enabled policy to prefer small and diverse sellers. In our NSHE Amazon business accounts, we've enabled where when end users are searching for products to buy, it always brings the small and diverse sellers to the top of their search feeds, as well as a banner letting them know that that's a system-wide preference. In addition to that, purchasing leadership also has affiliations with some organizations that we've mentioned throughout the presentation today. The first is the Regional Business Development Advisory Council. For short, we call it RBDAC. And it's a legislative council reporting directly to the Nevada State Legislature. Our mission is to increase the participation of small, minority, women, veteran, and disadvantaged businesses within Clark County. Paula Gonzalez, the Director of Purchasing for CSN, has been a member of that council for over 15 years. And I have been a member for 7 years, but also served a term as secretary, vice chair, and just appointed as chair this year. The National Association of Procurement Professionals, or NAPP, offering world-class value by providing a diversity of educational, networking, and career development opportunities to those in the supply management profession. It's based in Las Vegas and serves over 100 purchasing professionals. And Melanie Lever actually has served on the board of directors since July of 2022. The final report for fiscal year 23 of both Tier 1 and Tier 2 was provided to you. And the Tier 1 fiscal year 24 report was also provided. The Tier 2 data for fiscal year 24 is still being surveyed, and so we hope to present that to you at a later date. Talking about future state, there is a proposed BDR with the Nevada legislature pending the 83rd session that does affect all NC institutions. The first and probably most notable is that RBDAC is being asked to be renamed to the Nevada Business Advisory Council and expanding from just Clark County to now include Carson City, Washoe County, and Douglas County. The council will be responsible for impacting revisions to policy and procedure, whereas right now our primary focus is just increasing participation. The next two bullets, hot off the press, but they decided to leave these out of the BDR that was put forward to the legislature, and it was to set aside a 27% participation goal and also allocating sufficient resources. I think there was some mixed reviews on that, so they did decide to leave it out. Also on future state is some of what we are working on to enhance the report that was provided to you. I do want to call attention that P-card data was not included, and a lot of people may be asking why. And so our primary goal is truly to enhance the reporting capabilities. A lot of the suppliers are considered merchants, and so that supplier classifications with the bank are not readily available. We're really pushing the envelope there and hoping to expand on the P-card data, as it's a big missing piece of the puzzle. Additionally, we want to create training materials system-wide, including videos and job aids for how to do business with you or with ENSHI, how to register in our supplier registration systems and be notified of bidding and business opportunities. Leverage our existing collaboration to ensure consistent responses from suppliers across all entities. We saw in this year's report where some of those suppliers didn't respond, so learning and finding ways to push the envelope on that and make them respond. The last is to continue development on our system-wide procurement website, a one-stop shop for our suppliers as opposed to visiting multiple different websites. Whew. Wrapped it up there. We covered a lot in a little bit of time, and so we invite you to review all of the data presented. We are still in the process of enhancing these reports. Our focus group still meets regularly, and so if there's anything that you want to see, anything that we can do to enhance those reports, please continue to let us know, as we've come a long way, but there's still more to do. So thank you so much, and we will allow some time for questions if there are any.
Thank you very much. I had a couple questions. One for the SREG for the businesses when they register as a correct me if I'm saying this wrong, MBE, WBE, or DBE status. Is there any validation or verification of the accuracy of the information?
So there's not. So they are encouraged to upload their certification. They can be certified with multiple different municipalities. The Department of Transportation is a common one. The National Business Council Enterprise and the Women's National Business Enterprise, but there is not a second layer of validation. So we very much rely on the supplier to have the source of truth, but when they do submit certifications, they are on record.
Okay, thank you. And the next question I had on page 9, you had cited NRS and Board of Regents policy required that we award lowest responsive and responsible bidder. So does the MBE, WBE, or DBE status not affect that award decision? It's more of a, after it's awarded, then it looks at who we would award it to. Is that how it goes?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly right.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions from members of the committee? No, seeing none, this is an information item, so I guess that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Move on to item number 5, IDEA Council Campus Activity Update. Dr. Lawrence Weekly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, honorable members of the Board of Regents, and of course to our Chancellor, Ms. Charlton, and of course General Counsel and Director Tillery Williams. I'm going to make sure I cover everybody. How about that? All right. I'm again Dr. Lawrence Weekly, Chief Diversity and Government Affairs Director for the College of Southern Nevada, and I'm very honored to serve as the chair of the IDEA Council for the fall of 24 and the spring of 2025. Mr. Chairman, you know how people say, I don't want to bore you with all this information, right? But there is so much good work that's going on all of your campuses across this country, this state. there's a lot of good work where there are a lot of folks who are doing some amazing things for many of our students, and it's impacting a lot of our faculty and staff in wonderful and amazing ways. And if you don't mind, Mr. Chair, I'd like for representatives from each one of our institutions, if you all just stand and let the chairman and members of this committee see who you are, our ideal council members from each institution. If you don't mind standing, please let the folks see your faces. Oh, stand up, Nevada State. You guys, we know you guys just gave a great presentation on your summit. Yeah, these are, and just like Dr. Rodriguez-Campos gave a great report on the Diversity Summit, if you didn't have a chance to attend because your schedules are extremely busy, what an amazing job they did out at Nevada State. It was awesome. It was well attended, very well received. I know one of the regents, several of you all were there, but just an awesome job, and that's the caliber of work that's being done at each of our institutions. And again, we want to thank our presidents as well. I see we have one of our presidents in the room. We can't thank you enough for your support as well. Thank you. Okay, we have another. Okay, we do have. And there's my DRI president as well. Thank you. Okay, there's another. What presidents do y'all want me to have y'all stand up also? Okay, thank you to all of our presidents. But, Mr. Chairman, just let me say this. On behalf of Nevada State, as you heard from Dr. Campos, the 12th annual Diversity Summit took place, and it was a smashing success. They installed a new mural at the Multicultural Collective. It was a multicultural collective featuring artwork by, how do you say it, Nile? Lois? Lois, did I say that right? Okay. Lois Ledris. All right, Ledris. And then they hosted an inaugural Health Equity Day to bring community service providers to increase health care access and services for students, including hearing screenings, HIV testing, vital signs screenings, SNAP applications, workshops, and more. And that's just, I'm going to give you just a little snapshot of what's going on each one of our campuses. TMCC, fantastic job for Hispanic Heritage Month. TMCC had Loteria game and two B. Listen, somebody's going to have to help me with some of my words here. But this event featured vibrant ballet performances and engaging dance lessons and delicious refreshments. They also were one of the institutions that hosted the Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. All of our institutions had these celebrations and did a fantastic job. TMCC also, in honor of Native American Heritage Month, they welcomed guest speaker Autumn Harry, a member of the Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe, indigenous rights advocate, and fly fishing guide. They also, just hosted a number of events that just exemplified reclaiming the land, remapping history, and they talked about how to explore land stewardship. And so, you know, we want to thank them for their work. GBC this semester, they launched the Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging online training for all the faculty and staff in mid-November. They also held a 1,000 cranes dedication as a culmination of the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month event last spring on November 4th. And this this event also included a commemoration of the lives of those professors here at UNLV, in which, you know, we extend our hearts and prayers to their families. And we also want to thank UNLV for hosting a beautiful event that many of us will attend on tomorrow or Friday, I think it is. UNR, let me say UNR, they proudly participated in the Northern Nevada Pride Parade and Festival. They also hosted in September Autumn Harry. They had the National Hispanic Heritage Month, in which they hosted a number of events in reference to the Hispanic Heritage Month. And in November, UNR celebrated the National American Indian and Alaska Native Heritage Month with a series of events honoring Native culture and history. DRI, the Idea Committee, held its annual Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead as well, and did a number of events. And they also had the decorated altars at each one of the campuses. WNC, they also participated in that event as well in observance of Hispanic Heritage Month. WNC hosted a successful lunch and learn event on key leadership skills and closing the pay gap. And let's see here. They also, what else did they do? Building on the momentum, they WNC is exploring additional avenues to engage with diverse communities, including rural and underrepresented groups. And of course, CSN, man, we just had a lot going on. Our acting president made some institutional shifts that led our office to oversee the multicultural centers. And as a result of the multicultural centers, we just have a lot going on. And I can go through the list and tell you about all these things that we have happening here at CSN, but let's see here. Oh, this one's one I really enjoyed. The National First Generation College Day occurred on November 8th, Mr. Chairman. And this year, the Office of DEI celebrated with the First Gen Fall Festival. And we had a record number of students who came out who were First Gen students, and they had an opportunity to write on the why I'm first wall. And it was pretty cool to hear the inspirational remarks from the students in terms of how it made them feel to be the first one in their school to seek higher education. And so just absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, UNLV had a host of events as well. And so that's just pretty much a snapshot of just some of the things that's going on with our Ideal Council. We meet on a monthly basis. We're under the leadership, again, of Director Tillery Williams. And, of course, we're overseen by Chancellor Patty Charlton, who kind of keeps us on track. But we have a lot of things happening and lots of discussions. We'd like to invite you to come sit in on one of our meetings. We had Regent Goodman who came and joined us, and thank you. We thank you for coming in and talking to us and giving us an opportunity to ask you questions and tell you of our vision and what it is that we'd like to see happen in terms of how we're representing all of our students at all of our institutions. And so, Mr. Chair, I'm going to cut it short there and just pause and open up for any questions that any of you all may have or any compliments you all may want to give me.
Thank you. That was a very comprehensive and encouraging report you've given of what the activities that are going on across the NC campuses. So are there any questions from the committee members? Seeing none, thank you for your work in this area.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 6, Board of Regents resolution condemning anti-Semitism at NC institutions.
All right.
Chancellor Charlton.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Downs and members of the committee. First, we'd like to bring this agenda item forward. This was first requested in November of 2023 by Regent Goodman at this particular meeting. We haven't had the opportunity to have it heard before the committee, and so we want to thank the committee for this opportunity today. And as Executive Director Dr. Weekly mentioned, on November the 4th, the IDEA Council had an opportunity to meet with Regent Goodman, and she shared some of her thoughts regarding the importance of this resolution and then just in general her vision and support for IDEA across the system. And so with that, I'd like to turn it to Regent Goodman.
Thank you, Chancellor. This resolution for me is just, it's just a way to speak to our students and let them know that they're supported. The timing on this is obviously a little bit late. We wanted this to go forth last November when it would have been more timely for the students on campus. But I felt it important to still read it into the record, and I just wanted to do that now. So basically, this is a resolution that was the Blackburn-Rosen resolution that was passed in the United States Senate in November of 2023, maybe even October of 2023. And it was a bipartisan resolution that was passed. And it's just really letting our Jewish students know that they're supported. The Board of Regents resolution condemning anti-Semitism at institutions of the Nevada System of Higher Education and encouraging college and university leaders, administrators and faculty to speak out against anti-Semitism, whereas there has been a rise in incidents of anti-Semitism on college and university campuses in the United States, creating an atmosphere of fear for Jewish students and faculty, whereas the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance has developed a widely accepted working definition of anti-Semitism, which can serve as a helpful tool for higher education administrators and faculty to identify anti-Semitism. Whereas on December 2, 2022, the board adopted the IRA definition of antisemitism to be used in mandatory anti-bias and anti-discrimination training for all NSHE employees and members of the board. Whereas acts of discriminatory harassment and violence based on religion, national origin, or ancestry have no place at institutions of higher education that exist to further education and understanding between diverse student bodies. And whereas freedom of speech and expression are foundational principles of institutions of higher education in the United States, but when these principles are used to promote violence, discrimination, or harassment, higher education leaders have the right and an obligation to respond. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the board strongly condemns any instances of antisemitism occurring at colleges and universities throughout our system. Be it further resolved, the board encourages the system's higher education leaders, including the chancellor, presidents, deans, and administrators, to publicly condemn speech that incites or celebrates violence against any people based on religious beliefs, national origin, or ancestry. And be it further resolved, the board encourages the system's institutions of higher education to engage with Jewish student organizations and to provide safe and inclusive learning environments in which students, faculty, and staff can pursue their academic and personal aspirations without fear. And so this is just that's our resolution. I wanted to read it into the record, and I appreciate all of you listening for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Goodman. So do we have any discussion about this item here? It's on the agenda. It's an action item, so for possible approval.
Motion for approval.
I'll second that. Thank you, Regent Arascata.
Okay. We have a motion to approve and a second. Is there any further discussion on this? Seeing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, say nay. This item passes. Thank you. Thanks. Move on to item number 7, a new business. Are there any new business items? So items for consideration at the future meetings may be suggested. Any discussion of an item under new business is limited to the description and clarification of the subject matter of the item, which may include the reasons for the request, and no substantive discussion may occur at this meeting or on new business items in accordance with Nevada open meeting law. Are there any new business items you'd like to see?
New business items, Chair?
Yes.
On the agenda item 4B, I applaud the presentation and the entire description about the minority business enterprises and the women's business enterprise and the spend accounts. Regarding the spend accounts and suppliers of purchasing goods and or the purchasing goods that were presented. However, I really believe that at this presentation would benefit the Business, Finance, and Facilities Committee. These are all significant dollar amounts being presented, and although they have the diversity classification, they would greatly be beneficial for the BFF Committee. And I'd like to see that for a future agenda item.
Thank you. Are there any other new business items? Seeing none, we'll move to public comment. Is there any public comment here at UNLV? Seeing none, we'll go to SES. Is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no callers for public comment at this time.
And we adjourn this meeting. Thank you.